Buccaneers fans, here he is. Here he is again. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. The man has been patrolling One Buck Palace, the grass. He's been harassing Todd Bowles. The proof is on Twitter. You can see it at Twitter at Joe Bucks Fan. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. And all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Bill Curry Ford, that's the last name, C-U-R-R-I-E, just about the last of the family-owned Ford dealerships in Florida. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan, you've heard him as the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, but more important, dare I say, he is the big boss at Bill Curry Ford, and he wants to help you personally with anything you need with your vehicle, and of course, purchasing a new vehicle. You can order one, no deposit. He's going to give you a $500 gift card just to do it, and you're going to get concierge assistance if you want it. It's so easy to build your own vehicle and get it right where you want it, which is at Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com, and do not hesitate to reach out to Sean. Email, call him, walk into the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. He wants to help, and it doesn't matter if that help is questions now and a purchase 6 months later. BillCurryFord.com. Also, Sage, Big Storm Beer, happy 10th birthday to Big Storm Beer. Will you please wish them a happy birthday, Ira?
Hey, happy birthday, Big Storm. You're taking over this whole community in the craft beer market.
And, Sage, I am off to the Big Storm party, the Big Bash. Well, that's today, Saturday. Of course, people won't hear the podcast in time for that. But a 10th anniversary celebration at their Clearwater Tap Room, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. They've also got their tap room in Odessa, which is right off State Road 54 on Success Drive.
You might even get a free brew out of this if I know you, Isbitz. You might.
I'm planning to buy. They'll probably buy me stuff, too. I don't know. The food is coming my way. Big Storm also tap rooms in Orlando at the Amway Center. Open 7 days a week, but if you're going to events there, of course, you can hit up Big Storm as well. It's really cool out there, Sage. And in Cape Coral and coming soon to Ybor, we don't have the schedule yet, where we get to watch games with the Sage, which games and where. But Sage will be on the move this season, watching with Bucks fans at Big Storm. And do not forget our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk more about them later, Ira, but a quick quiz. Where do you go online, Ira, if you were to come home and you realize that your wife was sleeping, Cosmo was napping, and lightning had struck the pool and it was in shambles?
Well, there's no doubt about it. You call Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh and his crew, first rate, come out, give you an accurate assessment. Might be nothing. Might be something major.
Might be nothing. I just told you your pool's in shambles.
Well, that's nothing. I don't use the pool. You know, if I dive in, I create such a splash, all the water comes out of the pool.
All right, Ira, we'll talk more about them later. But Lee,
you take care of pools.
Notice how he didn't answer the question. I asked him, where would you go online? And he says, I'm calling Florida's Elite Restoration. That's because you know that they're there 24-7 to take your calls and come out.
Well, he's not a computer kind of guy.
If lightning hits the pool, it could crack a bunch of cement there.
My computer's not working at that point, so I make a call.
That's a good point. Good point. Good point. All right, look, now we are actually at One Buck Place outside.
The cleaning crew is hovering around us waiting for us to finish over here so they can clean up the bleachers.
Well, the bleachers look clean to me, and we were told we could sit here, so I don't feel bad.
Maybe they've already been through this section, Lee. Maybe.
This place looks clean. Yeah.
It looks clean. Much cleaner than your car, Ira. That
than my copy, right, Steve?
That cherry red Ford Escape that you drive is much cleaner than that. Look, Ira, before we get into what we've seen out of practice, we've just wrapped up 4 days underwear football. Sunday, the Bucks are off. Monday, they're here in pads, but we have not been on our podcast talking about Ryan Jensen and his injury on Thursday. And I'm glad we're doing this today because I think it's much better to talk about these things outside of the emotion of the moment. We've had a chance to digest it. You and I and Lee have been talking to all kinds of people around One Buck. But what should fans know and think and believe about this Jensen injury, which is clearly very serious? Where do you stand on the state of the Buccaneers center situation, Ira?
I see a dark cloud right over One Buck Place. I'm sorry. I'm not going to understate the impact of this injury. Can you imagine the discussions that are going on right now in the upper levels of management? Do we take a chance and go with somebody that's inexperienced? Heck, Hainsey didn't even play center in high school. He didn't play center in high school. And we know he didn't play it in college. So whether it's him or Leverett. I mean, we're not talking about anybody that's got any kind of track record snapping the ball to Tom Brady. You know, you add the two guards that they're replacing, and say what you want about Shaq Mason and Kappa's spot, but whoever wins the left guard job, I'm sorry, Lee, he's not going to be as good as Ali Marpet. That's pie in the sky. That's just not going to happen. And whoever's the center is not going to be as good as Ryan Jensen, in my opinion, including J.C. Tretter. It's not going to be good. You take a step back at left guard. You take a step back at center. The sky isn't falling, Lee, but that Jensen injury, I'm not going to understate it.
I know Steve's talked to some people here at One Buck. I've spoken with some people at One Buck. I don't get any impression, Ibra, that Jason Light is in a rush to make a rash move. I don't think Tretter is ever going to be with the Bucks. I just don't think so. And I'm not saying no, but I don't think so from what I'm hearing. And people within the organization in that building are very, very high on Hainsey. No, he's not going to be Ryan Jensen. And who is? But there's a lot of support for Hainsey in this building, from assistant coaches, from people in the front office. As a matter of fact, AQ Shipley was on Pat McAfee's show a couple days ago, and he said there are several people that really wanted this year Hainsey to get a shot to start. Now, he wasn't suggesting, and these people weren't suggesting, he should start over Ryan Jensen or he should start over Shaq Mason. But they were that bullish on Hainsey and his development that they wanted to see the guy on the field, not in mop-up games.
Lee, doesn't this go to what you consider the most dangerous word in professional football, potential? Doesn't that go to it?
Well, sure.
He hasn't done a thing.
Well, again, he's not Ryan Jensen. Jensen's gone. We can't change that.
Marpet's gone. Can't change that.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you know what? I have faith in this organization. Look what they've done with the offensive line since this, Steve points out, since 2015. Jason Light seems to know what he's doing with an offensive line. These offensive line coaches seem to know what they're doing. FYI, Tristan Wirfs, there's a guy who never had a snap in the NFL, yet he's a superior athlete.
Kappa was adequate. Kappa,
well,
more than
with Wirfs, he had no offseason. It was during the virus. No offseason. He comes in right away. It's like he played 2 years already. They had him prepared. So I'm going to give these guys the benefit of that. If they think that Hainsey's got a chance, given their track record, given Light's track record, then
I'm concerned about a transition, Steve. He hasn't played center.
I understand, Ira.
But it is the first week of training camp. They got all, you know.
I understand.
A couple of things here, Sage. First, just for the fans that aren't so hardcore, A.Q. Shipley, he was a center part-time for the Bucks. Played a couple of games when they shuffled the line in 2020. And he was an assistant coach last year very quietly, and then he retired from that. But he trained Hainsey in the offseason. He's very close with Bucks management and the coaches and all that. So he knows what he's talking about for sure, and was a longtime veteran of the position. Here's the thing, Ira. I'm not nervous, and I'll tell you why. If Hainsey was a rookie, I'd be nervous. If Hainsey was new to this system, I'd be nervous. But before, as Lee mentioned, before Jensen got hurt, people were very high on Hainsey in this organization. It's not just that now they're pumping him up. I was hearing him being pumped up for a long time, how much they love this guy and how hard he works, how smart he is out of Notre Dame, learned all the positions, and he's Tristan Wirfs' best buddy. They trained together. He's clearly reworked his body, looks like a beast. They have all of training camp. We keep hearing about Tom Brady knows how to develop slot receivers, this, that, whatever. He's got Brady there. He's got Shaq Mason next to him. I don't like this situation, Ira. It's not ideal, but if they trust him, like Lee said, and if they still trust him on August 27th instead of July 27th, I'm okay with it. I'm not that worried.
I'm looking at the Jensen injury and impact, Lee, in context with the two guard situations. And, Lee, we've said many times on the show, the one unit where you absolutely stress continuity, and the Bucks have had it, are the guys in front of Tom Brady. That's no longer the case, except for your bookend tackles, who are outstanding. Maybe the best tandem in the league. Maybe.
Repeat that again so people...
Maybe the best tandem in the league.
Okay. Because, the only reason I'm saying there's still people out there that think Donovan's just a joke.
You know, Donovan Smith is not a weak spot.
No.
No, he's not. But guys, replacing the entire entirety of the interior offensive line is a concern, Lee.
It's a concern, but you know what? Outside of Hainsey, these guys have been together since the beginning of OTAs. So if they're not ready come regular season, there's a red flag somewhere, whether that's Mason, whether that's Stinney. So I'm in Steve's camp. I'm not that nervous. But you know what? Here's how we can end this entire conversation. If number 12 doesn't want Hainsey, Light will go out and get somebody. It's as simple as that.
Ira only likes to end conversations with a sandwich, just so you know. That's the only way he likes to end a conversation.
I do, and I agree with Lee that I think their inclination is to go with in-house, an in-house replacement at center.
Or at least give him a fair shot.
For a while.
Like Steve, yeah,
for a while. Like
Steve said, 2-3 weeks from now, if he's not getting it done, then Light will make a move.
And now for those fans out of practice today, the bad snap to Tom Brady was not from Hainsey. I had my eye dialed on the number. It was a no-name guy at center. Bad snap, yeah.
Didn't I have the same concerns when they were thinking about moving Marpet to center and I kept screaming in the podcast, he's never played center. He's never played center. He can make the transition. I'm not saying Hainsey is going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
But that didn't last very long. The Marpet to center didn't last very long.
No, and I don't want to pretend that this is good. It doesn't mean we're pretending that losing a Pro Bowl center, that Tom Brady was like, hey, we got to get you back here.
Hainsey has no film at center. Like,
no, he's got no film.
I understand.
I talked to Shaq Mason today, Ira. Talked to Shaq Mason. Now, Shaq Mason in 2015, as crazy as this is, I wrote it on the website. It adds to really Brady's mystique in some ways. 2015, Shaq was on the Patriots. He was a fourth-round rookie. He started at left guard. The center was an undrafted starting rookie. Undrafted
off
free agent rookie.
Heap.
Off the scrap heap. Their starting center got hurt in training camp. This guy played pretty well. They ran with an undrafted rookie. The right guard, fourth round rookie out of Florida State. They went all the way to the NFC title game. So Shaq said this stuff is overblown. We talked about 2015. He talked about how he absolutely felt ready. And it was the best thing for his career.
How much of that confidence is based on the fact that Brady's the guy taking the snaps?
Well, Shaq said that we didn't go there too much, but he did say none of this is new for Brady. You know, breaking in a new offensive lineman, that's not new and, you know, not a big deal. One guy, he's like, and he said, it's July. It's not, October. And so, Brady's lived this before with three rookies on the interior. Hainsey's not a rookie, and I get what you're saying about the continuity. We've heard O-line coaches talk about this every year forever. And Shaq Mason's a new guy, but is he really that new, given his experience? He's played with the quarterback. But after two preseason games, Ira, this could all look a lot different.
There's no doubt about it.
All right, Sage, look, we will say our prayers for Mr. Jensen. And we've been watching practices here, Ira. You've been talking to everybody. Forget about what Lee and I want to say about practice first. What other impressions are you soaking in here while you patrol with your towel and all you do?
Well, a lot of us are waiting for Mr. Brady to go behind a microphone instead of getting behind center. I believe that will happen Monday. That's my pick.
Well, I know
Monday
who you talk to, so
day.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a day that NFL Network will be out here in force.
Ah, there you go.
On Monday. And I believe Peter King's coming out maybe later in next week, so he will be here. Brady didn't have a very good day today. He was a little bit off, Lee.
Looked mortal.
He had a day off to regroup, as did yours truly. I took yesterday off.
Is that why you had a vet day, Ira?
I had a day to regenerate, Steve, and I come out here, and DeKemper doesn't miss a day. DeKemper doesn't miss a snap. It's a beautiful thing. You too, Steve. You haven't missed a day.
Oh, no. I'll be missing plenty of snaps.
I had a crisis.
Lee, you'll be
morning.
Here Monday. Lee,
oh, yeah. I had a crisis this morning.
Uh-oh. What happened? Flat tire?
No. Worse. I had a bottle of water dumped on my binoculars.
Ooh.
So I had to go through the whole damn practice using my naked eyes.
Oh.
That sucks. So, and I've already, and I checked on my phone, already a new pair of binoculars has been delivered to my house. Thank you, Jeff Bezos.
I got a quick story. Steve, you and I were waiting for players to come off the field, and I see Will Golston, and he's talking to Chris Godwin's dad, I believe. Waited till he was finished.
Ira, real quick, Lee, you know what Will Golston said, how he greets Ira?
Get out of here.
You're still alive?
I said to him, Will, you're still here. You're a survivor. You're second to Levon A. David in Buck tenure. He goes, I was thinking the same thing about you. I remember you the first day I ever got to this damn place. You're still here? So Steve, and then Bowles is being walked off the field by the security guy, and he sees me, and I tip my cap to him, and he goes, "What's going on?" I said, "Come on, let's do a podcast, Coach." He started laughing. Then, of course, PR swarmed all over me. Yeah. "What are you doing talking to the coach? You could have had him at the podium."
See, I thought you were going to heckle Bowles about how there's no more water and food in the press room.
I've told the proper authorities, Lee. Proper authorities. It will be rectified Monday when we get back. Well, I talked to Nick Rapone, who's one of our favorites, safeties coach. Asked him about his room. He's very excited. He thinks he's got all kinds of starters. I asked him about Winfield. I said he's very good. How can he be great? He goes, very easy.
Picks.
Catch the football.
No wonder he was diving
That's
for balls.
That's what he keeps telling Winfield.
Wow.
Give me the 4, 5, 6 picks.
No, I'm gonna...
And he mentions Ed Reed. He mentions Rod Woodson.
In the same breath?
Well, no. In terms of... That's what I want.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I want. If Winfield's going to take the next step, he's got to get his hands on 6 balls.
Well, I don't know if you got to read the story, Ira, but and I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just stating fact. I don't know. But Winfield had a crazy pick a couple days ago in practice. Laid out for a pick. I think it was the first play of 11-11s. Laid out for a pick, and it was a beautiful play. And I thought to myself, he's going to get chewed out by a coach. What are you doing that in practice for? You save that for the game. Don't injure yourself. And Winfield was saying he did that in part because he needs to get more picks. That backs up what you're
saying. Steve, Winfield, speaking of Winfield, he's overlooked sometimes when you say, hey, Jason Light's hitting home runs with Wirfs, Devin White to a certain extent.
Winfield, of course.
And sometimes you don't mention Winfield. We might be looking at that in about 2 years and saying, that's one of Light's all-time picks.
Big year for Winfield as it relates to, the direction of his career. He's got to try to show that he's that guy. Same thing for Carlton Davis. He got paid. He's an excellent corner. If he catches balls, he's going to be mentioned in those, in the top 10 where most people don't put him at this point.
Same with Dean.
And, Dean probably gets a massive contract if he starts catching balls. I talked to Keanu Neal. You reminded me with the safeties. And I came after him a little bit. I said, look, a lot of people think you're shot. You don't have a big contract.
You haven't done much the last couple of years.
You had the bad injury, and they say, he's not the same guy. Where are you? Or do you need to be in pads to sort of understand, which pads are coming Monday, to know where you are as far as your game and all the physicality you bring? And he's like, you go tell everybody that I am 100%, and they're going to see it. I am 100% back. I'm the old Keanu Neal, and I hope to get the snaps to show.
Coach Rapone told me that when Neal was a Falcon in those glory days, he thought the guy was fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah. Thought he was one of the best safeties in football.
Wow.
And, Steve, if he's physically, on the mend, he might be able to get back to that. He's not old. Okay. Not only was he a thumper, Lee, but not a thumper in a dumb way where you're getting all these penalties. He was smart and physical.
Shaq's a happy man, Ira, a happy man. He started talking about how much he likes it here.
This is Shaq Mason.
Shaq Mason. And I think he started to stray out of that Bill Belichick mold of what I'm supposed to say, because I asked him, big difference from New England. And he started talking, and then he just, shifted. He's like, went to cliches when he was starting to talk about how happy he was here and whatever. One thing I noticed, Ira, that I'm going to ask, which I've been putting off asking, and I don't know if it makes a difference, but fans coming out to training camp will notice the difference. I was sitting in the stands a lot today, or no music. Now, that was a Bruce Arians thing, and basically every other practice around the league has music. Todd Bowles, I never read or heard anything about him in New York with the Jets.
Funny, I think Bowles is a big music guy.
Very
into music.
Yeah, you could love music and also, understand that it can be a distraction.
I'm not asking for Montavani out here or Lawrence Welk.
You lost me on that one.
We can get some high-octane music. May I suggest Creedence Clearwater Revival?
That's not bad, but you got to remember, these guys are in their early 20s.
I understand.
All right.
John Fogerty covers all bases.
It's better than the Lawrence Welk you were just referencing.
I mean, I could talk about Jane's Addiction, these guys, because that's old for them. So yeah. We're old codgers, Ira.
We're old codgers, I understand.
Even Van Halen's considered over the hill.
So, Ira, on that injury to Jensen, was pounding the street here, and if you really look at the play, Logan Hall the rookie, was the guy who cut inside with a pass rush move, got tangled up with Jensen. And, you know, Hall's a big dude. He seems like someone very easy can get tangled up with somebody just because he's moved so hard. You know, rookies are extra aggressive in no padded practices.
But lanky.
I was told, yeah, lanky, and as well as being big, and which is hard to do, but he pulls it off. I was told that the team doesn't blame him for
absolutely
anything.
Absolutely not.
And
absolutely
that it was not. Clearly not that kind of thing. But I was also told that it's definitely not in his head. You know, which it could be for a lot of rookies, you know, oh my gosh, my second day, I blow out the Pro Bowl center and maybe people are looking at me, but I was told that he's came out of that well, which may sound funny, but it could mess a guy up for a while.
You know, he says it's not in his head, Lee. We'll see. I suppose word comes down next week, God forbid, he's out for the season, Jensen, mm-hmm. which could very likely happen. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen an injury, Lee, where within 30 minutes a coach comes out and you could tell basically that this guy's in a lot of trouble?
Oh,
I mean, that doesn't happen very often. Usually they downplay.
Well, you know what? To me, and this didn't happen, at least to my knowledge it didn't happen, but to me, when this happens, you know what's bad. When they bring out the air cast. When you see that, you know it's bad. But this wasn't the case. I don't think this was the case. But
Sage, I want to throw out a warning here. Some background noise is coming on the podcast because we're here at One Buck, as we explained, out on the bleachers after practice. The Buccaneers in-house media rooms are all taken these days because of network commitments and other things. And the cleaning crew is going to be doing some more cleaning here. And I see the landscapers, the grounds crew is firing up. They probably had some lunch and are raring to go. So it should be get fun here for a while, but I know everybody will be able to hear. And all these fans that were here today, Ira, what a crowd. And I can't say enough about it, as you mentioned earlier. But I wish I could tell every one of these people that they've got a $500 discount waiting for them if they need it at Florida's Elite Restoration. Restoration is what it is. You have a disaster in your home, fire, flood, maybe it's at your business, mold, lightning hits the roof and you've got issues. You call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. Let them know that you heard about them from the Ira Kaufman podcast or Joe Bucks fan. After they give you a free assessment, if you sign up for their services and you let them know, Joe Bucks fan, they're going to give you $500 off. Maybe that's $500 toward your deductible if you're going with an insurance repair, or just $500 cash after a cash repair. So it's very important to know that. You got to have someone you trust in your time of need. As you heard Ira say earlier, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Go to the website, even if you don't have a problem, just so you're aware of the company. Family owned, Josh Martin, 14 years as an insurance adjuster. He knows the business. If you need an insurance repair, he's going to get the money, and he's going to get the best for you. Florida's EliteRestoration.com.
Steve, talking about the crowd today, I thought it was overwhelming. The crowd, it was standing room only. I mean, besides the bleachers, way spilled into towards where the media sits. And, of course, I don't like that because somebody might not like one of my columns over there. But there was a ton of people here.
Oh, yeah. It's Saturday, of course. You know, people aren't working. And the Buccaneers, when they allocate these tickets, they expect a certain number of no-shows, right? So they know, okay, you know, 13% aren't going to show
right,
up.
Right.
So
it's
they,
like the airlines are booking a flight over there.
Sort of. Oh, so bottom line, they probably had a higher percentage of show-ups today, no rain in sight. And, you know, great atmosphere versus Friday was a little thinned out pretty quick. Part of that, like Lee had mentioned to me, was probably people who saw that Tom Brady had the day off. I don't know if I want to watch Kyle.
I wonder if they'll go inside at all next week unless they have to.
No, Steven heard. Yeah,
no, they're not going inside.
That's not
going
to happen unless they have to.
No indoor practices unless somebody changes.
You're not going to use the Glazer shed?
Not going to use the Glazer shed unless they have to. Unless they have to.
Here, I'm going to say this real quick about the fans, and I've noticed this pattern. The Bucs really don't do 11-on-11s or a lot of 11-on-11s and red zones till the latter part of practice. After about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, people are giving up. They're taking off. And what they want to see, they don't get to see because they take off.
Yeah.
So if you're going to come out here, don't worry about coming late because you're not going to see anything unless you enjoy seeing guys play with tackling dummies.
Interesting little nugget, Ira, in that 11-on-11 Lee's referencing. Levante David picked off Tom Brady late in the practice. And I talked to David about it. And David said that of course, you know, all the players watch film, but he said Brady will track him down at some point and find out what he saw. You know, because you don't see on film what the other guy saw. So he's going to, you know, be in Mr. David's ear, wanting to know what did I do wrong? How can you help me?
That's like Brady with the receiver, where the guy said the other day, well, it's in the playbook that you run it a certain way. Well, Brady wants you to run it this way.
Kyle Rudolph.
With a nuance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph said that.
That's the detail of Brady, right?
Oh, I was on the Co-Keef today, and he was just saying, you know, the detail of Brady. He says, I understand now why he is who he is. He said he's an excellent teammate, but he's also very demanding. There's a standard that has to be met.
That's like Isbit's,
at Big Storm?
I expect
my beer within 3 minutes.
Sage, I also hit up David. You know, you had talked on the podcast. You shared your chit-chat with Derek Brooks and how Brooks has been counseling David on
taking
care of his body as a 30-plus linebacker. Nobody would know better than Brooks. So, I had to say, hey, Levante, Sage has been talking to Brooks, and I need to know some details here. So he told me that and most of it's been diet.
Diet, yeah,
Most of it's been diet, and he cut carbs, eliminated carbs for a long time, and was doing some other things. And
is that a TB12 influence, you think?
No, I think it's just all Derek Brooks thing. And he did that for a block of time and other things that he feels like a million bucks. And as Lee's noticed, and I've noticed as well, he looks really fast. Like, he looks like he's regained his speed and his spring and explosiveness. Hopefully it'll last.
I love the fact Brooks is still involved with this franchise.
Oh, it's neat, yeah.
Isn't that a tremendous positive
in terms of
Devin White and Levante David?
Sure. It very much is, yeah. And you know what? I put this picture out on Twitter, and I had a fan come back, the very same thing you're talking about. Bruce Arians was out in his golf cart today, cruising around. He was talking to some assistants. I got a picture of it, put it up on Twitter. And someone replied, I love that he's still involved this way.
So. You know what I noticed today also, Steve? I was standing down there where the players come off the field.
The VIP buffet?
Didn't even have a drink of water from the buffet. Steve, with two periods left, Mike Evans and about three of his comrades went into the cool-down unit, stayed in there about 15 minutes, came back out for the final period or two. So players are making good use of it.
And what I was referring to is basically the Bucks, like the Saints have had for years. The Bucks put in, essentially, it's a walk-in cooler.
It's
a trailer, and he's essentially a walk-in cooler. They have it down to like 35, 40 degrees.
There might be some big storm in there, Steve, for all we know.
That's where we could store it.
Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm Beer. And don't drink Big Storm Beer while you drive over to Bill Curry Ford. Because you may want to test drive a vehicle over there, BillCurryFord.com. You can shop online safely while you're drinking Big Storm Beer. Sage, Chris Godwin signing autographs today, and no limp. Watched him walking all around.
I got a few words in with his father.
Mr. Godwin was here today. I was over eavesdropping on Mr. Godwin Sr. I don't know if it's Chris Godwin Sr., but his dad was here, and I think all signs look really good. For Chris Godwin.
I went up to him. Never met the man.
Is that where Chris is from?
Delaware.
So I said, what's going on with your kid? looking good. I said, going to be ready week one? Absolutely. I said, oh.
Really?
I said, I better send a message to those Cowboy coaches. He said, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
That's not an official Buck franchise statement.
Sure.
But I've been hearing.
Do you think that's just a proud dad getting carried away?
Could be.
He's not but I'll say about Godwin's dad, observing him a little bit, he's clearly not a blowhard kind of guy, as we've seen some other parents of players over the years. It seems like all signs are good.
You got an example?
I got a couple.
I know there's a brother that we dealt with years ago. It was like bananas.
All right, Sage. Jason Light spoke the other day, talked about his acquisitions. I had to ask him about Gronk, and he wouldn't close the door on Gronk. Nobody will close the door on Gronk. Everybody's smiles like, we'll kind of see. And so I thought that was a little bit interesting, but your impressions, you were sitting there, some thoughts that the fans want to know, what does the Sage think of what Jason Light had to say?
Well, Jason Light's having the time of his life, Lee. And I asked him about what's it like having
he had the Stella resupplied in his house?
What's it like having the greatest recruiter in the world at your disposal?
That's true.
And he knew exactly what I was talking about. He goes, I'm not going to apologize for it.
Why now, should you?
Yeah, he said, now other teams with, you know, elite quarterbacks, you know, with Rodgers or maybe or Mahomes, but not to the extent Brady. He's not, they're not as active as Brady. Brady's making the call to Gage. Brady's making the call to this guy, to Rudolph. He just absolutely loves it. Having said that, Lee, and everybody has to realize that, so much could change.
Oh, sure.
We saw much could change.
We saw it on day two with Jensen.
But, I mean, if Brady leaves.
Oh, my God.
Brady leaves, it's a whole new ball game, Steve. It's just this.
You know, I'm going to revisit.
And it's a good roster. It's a good roster.
You brought this up, Ira. You're opening up the door, so I have to ask you. In the past, you said you've not been convinced that Kyle Trask will be the next Bucs quarterback.
He said he won't be. Ira just said he won't be the next quarterback.
I was trying to be a little more gentle.
That's probably the strongest thing Light said, that Trask is going to get a lot of work.
A lot of work is a far cry from replacing Brady. But I'm asking your opinion, your informed opinion.
I've seen nothing to change it, Lee. Nothing to change that. I think that's where the Glazers come in. And the Glazers will look at this roster, say it's a competitive roster. If we have a veteran quarterback, we're not going to Kyle Trask. That's where I think the Glazers could step in.
Real quick, you were talking about...
And I think they got every right to do that.
Oh, absolutely. With this roster, yes. You were talking about Brady and recruiting. About a year ago, I was talking with the NFL executive, and supposedly, you know, depending what your view, supposedly, in this very subject you're talking about, recruiting and quarterbacks, that the Packers pretty much ignore Aaron Rodgers' requests. And this NFL executive told me, he's like, you got a quarterback like Brady or you got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, why the hell wouldn't you listen to him?
That might be part of the friction that we're always reading about between Rodgers and the organization.
Not just that, but you said, you know, Light joked about Brady being a recruiter. Of course you want to listen to this guy. You a guy like that, you want to keep him happy. You want to listen to him. If he wants to get a certain receiver, why wouldn't you try to get that guy? And so I just think that's interesting that an NFL executive did tell me that, like, why wouldn't you listen to a quarterback like Brady or Rodgers?
Steve, do you get the impression that there have been times, one or two times, where Brady actually initiated and brought the guy's name up that maybe wasn't really that much on the Buck radar?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
There's proof. Antonio Brown.
Well, yeah. Brown. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One thing you said, Ira, you know, you don't know. Here's the thing. You don't know if Patrick Mahomes is calling the same players. It's about results. Hey, if they came to play with Brady, they came to play with Brady. So you don't know who's on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs brought, you know, they traded Hill, and all of a sudden they get Scanling and they get Juju Schuster, and Mahomes could be a big part of that.
He could, but I'll put it this way. I'll use one of your favorite words, Ira. Who has more clout, a guy with 8 rings or 1?
And Ira, you said... that's where the Glazers get involved. I think that's where Todd Bowles gets involved. He says, look, man, I'm 59 years old. Byron Leftwich just got a job somewhere else. I'm not a guy who can develop a young quarterback. That's not my strength. Get me a veteran in here and I'll win. You know, I really do think that that's a scenario.
And I do think there will be veterans available, Lee.
You sat in this man's living room. I don't think it's outrageous to say you may have shared a cocktail with him. Do you think Bruce Arians is in the Glazers' ear or is in Light's ear, and we know they have open ears for Arians. Yeah. Do you think Arians is telling Light and the Glazers, if this is Brady's last year, look, guys, you got a team. You can't just let this go to waste on a guy that we don't know can ever be a starting quarterback. Go get a veteran. You can still make a run of the Super Bowl.
I don't know that Arians is wired like that, Lee, because who's talked up Blaine Gabbert more? Who's the only one that's talked up Blaine Gabbert? And I think Arians was ready to go with Trask or Gabbert. Let me switch those. Gabbert or Trask. If Brady would have stuck to his retirement, I don't think the Bucs would have went out this year and got a veteran with Arians at the helm. And I don't think the Glazers would have necessarily overruled Arians at that point.
Well, for two things. One, what's said publicly and what's said behind closed doors.
You're right.
But here's where I'm coming from. Arians very specifically said he wanted to set Todd Bowles up, his dear friend, his longtime assistant, one of his former players. He wanted to set him up with a quarterback. Well, let's say Brady retires. Don't you think Arians would want to set him up with another quarterback, especially given this roster?
They'll be part of it, but I think the Glazers will lead the way in that regard. They'll be in the vanguard.
All right, Sage. Now
vanguard. I like
vanguard.
Look, fans love to know who's looking good, who's not looking good. It's underwear football. Thankfully, it ends on Monday, so we can get into some real stuff with what's going on in the field. But
I got a guy who's been looking good. I got a guy. And I think he's going to have a very good season. Russell Gage.
He took my thunder.
Russell Gage. Russell Gage is a good football player. And if he's going to get the targets that I think he's going to get, especially if Godwin's not 100%.
He'll get him either way. Yeah, he'll get him.
He's going to be very productive.
Sage, well, I cornered Gage. He would not give up.
Lee's guy. I took him.
He wouldn't not give up what his injury was, which makes you think it's probably more than what people thought. But he said it was about keeping something small and
maybe
letting
it was a
disappear.
Hernia or something. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, but maybe. Mike Evans was at the podium, as you like to call it, the other day. He was asked about to name a receiver looking good. He went with Tyler Johnson. So that interesting. And but Bowles also called out Gage and said we haven't covered him yet. That was
that's
on
hell of a line.
That
like,
was on
we
Friday.
Covered him yet.
Yeah, that's a big line.
Well, about Gage, Brady said he needs a lot of work. If I remember the quote correctly,
he needs
a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, this first week, if you told me that Gage was a brand new player this year, I'd have no clue. He looks smooth. There doesn't appear to be any type of dysfunction or lack of communication with those two. He looks excellent. But today, he did not look sharp. That's the first day he did not look sharp. The first 3 days, like this guy.
He reminds me of a little like Amari Cooper in a polished route runner.
The key line from Brady back in June was, over the next 6 weeks, he's got a lot of work to do. So it was like he had to put in the work before training camp, and it appears like he did. So
hey, I got a quick question.
Yeah, and then we'll wrap it up, Sage.
Right, I got a quick question for you boys. This struck me, you know, maybe a half an hour after Bowles said it, but I thought it was a little unusual when somebody was talking about acquiring Julio Jones and is he going to help, and Bowles didn't hesitate, and his answer was, somebody's got to make up for Gronkowski's catches. I was a little surprised he said that to this extent. Couldn't you make an argument that between Brate and Rudolph, of course not maybe touchdowns or red zone effectiveness, but, you know, Gronk catches what, 50 balls? Not 90, 50 balls. Couldn't you argue that between Rudolph and Brate, they might catch 50 balls? Were you surprised he said that right away about Gronk's catches?
Well, I mean, Gronk missed some time last year, so it was, you know, if you really look at Gronk's numbers, it was really like four catches a game. But again, that could be made up. I thought it was curious. I don't know what to make of it, Ira, but I was a little surprised.
I mean, I'm not trying to say they're going to replace Gronk.
Wouldn't you say that somebody's got to get Antonio Brown's catches or effectiveness, you know, when you're referencing Julio Jones?
Yeah. He went right to Gronkowski on that, Lee.
That didn't surprise me, only for the fact, well, I think that's pretty obvious. Someone's got to replace those catches. So I didn't really surprise me.
I asked Charles Davis, are they going to miss Gronk more as a red zone guy or as a blocker? He said a blocker.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely a blocker.
Well, we're going to find out, Ira. We're marching on. You got a final thought here for Bucks fans as we come back? Are we going to see you Monday out here?
I want to see Judy Batista.
Lee's got a final question.
I want to welcome her back to Tampa. By the way, who's here again? Never misses a trip to Tampa. Jared Bell. Staying 3 days from USA Today.
Of all the TV hotties he could be looking forward to, Judy Batista, really, Ira?
You know what I'm saying?
I have nothing against Judy Batista, but come on. Here's my final question.
When Colleen Wolf comes down there, I'll talk her up. Yeah, you know.
You have to address this. This has people triggered on social media. You're a Giants fan, right? San Francisco Giants.
Yes.
You grew up a Giants fan.
Yes.
You're always bragging about the Giants.
Yes.
And here you show up with a Yankees cap. Why?
Interesting story, Lee. Glad you brought it up. My wife purchased a couple of Yankee hats when we were in New York last month.
Why?
And she gave it to some guy for his birthday that is a Yankee fan, and she had an extra hat, so she gave me the extra Yankees hat, and you guys have been around me enough. I got about 7 different hats. I got the BillCurry.com hat. I got all kinds of – that's a safari hat, by the way. I'm wearing that on Monday, showing off
my Bill
Curry.
You have a safari hat?
Yeah. You know, I get all the perks from Bill Curry. I got a Bill Curry shirt, which I wore last week. I got the hat. So I am not changing my affiliation. I'm a Giant fan. And I'll say this, gentlemen. The Giants suck. The Giants suck. The trade deadline's coming up Tuesday. Lee, you're a Cardinal fan. Your boys are in it. The Giants are like 3 or 4 games out of the final wild card spot. That's, you know what? That's a terrible spot because they're not bad enough to throw the towel in, and they're not good enough to really go anywhere. I would absolutely be a seller, but I'm afraid that the guy that runs Giant baseball operations is not strong enough and not courageous enough to throw in the towel and get some prospects.
Three games out in July, and you're ready to jump off the ledge.
It's a lousy baseball team. I'm the man enough to say it.
All right, Ira, we've effectively established that you're not a Yankees fan, and we'll see you next week.